Opening scripture this morning. I'm sure that many of you who are wordaholics, you will have read this many times and maybe didn't stop when you got to this verse to take a little more time and break it apart and glean some really good things out of it, because it involves our motives, it involves our attitude, it involves making decisions that are going to be focused on keeping the main thing the main thing. And it's Paul's letter to the Philippian church, the church at Philippi, and Paul had a real interesting connection when he was on his missionary journeys. He didn't really get, according to his own words, any support from the other churches that he fathered. But the church at Philippi did support him. And there was a brother in the church named Epaphroditus that carried Paul's letters. Paul was in prison in Rome. And when his letter went to Philippi, which is, I believe it's in Greece, that's a lot of miles geographically. And so for letters to be hand carried, you have to cross Italy. And north and south down through Italy is a very high mountain range called the Apennine Mountains. It's not a place that you can go on foot in the wintertime, but you can in the summertime, and the snow only remains in the highest peaks. But this servant who served Paul was the connector. So when you read Philippians again, remember the person who carried the letters from Paul to Philippi, and from Philippi back to Paul. So Paul had a word for the church at Philippi. It was a challenge. It was a charge. It was something that he wanted them to, and Gary said, don't lose focus. But I'll read it now. It's Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And I will come back and break it down a little bit and see if we can maybe... I always like these golden nuggets that just pop out. And Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So while you're just thinking about that, let's go back to the first verse, 14. Chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, and verses 14, 15, and 16. And in verse 14, the very second word, I press. Any of you have a French press in your house for making coffee? Faithy, I know you do, and I was wondering if anybody else did. How does that function? What makes it work? What's the press part? The pressure is what? Oh, okay. Okay. Other forms of press. To advance forcibly. Extremely passionate, top priority, will not allow anyone or anything to stop me from finishing the course of my life. That one word. Yes?
Pressing your
Yeah. Yes, with heat and some moisture. Yeah. Yeah, the steam. Yeah, that was one of the big jobs we had to learn in basic training in the military, how to keep your fatigues ironed. We used to call them our green jeans because they're camouflage, but back then they weren't camouflage. They were just a solid color. But to press with this in mind, Paul is saying this to each believer, to advance forcibly. We all know that we have an enemy. And we're told in scriptures in other places, even in Ephesians chapter 6, about the whole armor of God. But we are to advance and not let the enemy pillage and plunder and rob us of the blessings of the Lord out of ignorance that we just haven't learned what some of them are, or if he can deceive us and find other ways to hinder us or to put roadblocks in the way. It can happen in any given day. And you got a plan for your day and all of a sudden a glitch factor shows up. But the main thing is to press toward. Toward indicates a direction. Pressing with a purpose. And not, oh, and extremely passionate. That's very important because we always do the things that we have a passion for. We always find time for that stuff, don't we? And so Paul is now talking about our spiritual life. And so in that context, top priority, full gospel businessman often use the phrase, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's really good because we can be involved in a lot of things and go off course or go off track, if you will. But to press towards something is a challenge. It's a charge. And not let anyone or anything. I always wondered why so many times in a family gathering, they all know that we come together on Sunday morning and they plan all their activities to keep us home on Sunday. Did you ever notice that trend? And you know, we just give them grace. And if God can't keep me one Sunday with my family, I guess I better find somebody else that can. So I don't worry about that. But it's a very interesting thing how they will pick Sunday. Why not Saturday? It's almost always on a Sunday. And but the main thing is that it's our relationship with Him that's the most important. And to try to find peace about it, because sometimes there is some opposition. And we all know that's true. Don't let anyone stop us from crossing the finish line. And there is a finish line to finish. And we're not there at the finish line yet. Now he says, I press toward the mark. What's the mark? It's not the mark of the beast. It's not a mark on the door to see how tall we've grown. Didn't we do that with our kids? We'd put a mark on the door and next year they're an inch taller and they keep growing. But there is a mark in the life of a Christian. The mark is a target. It's a goal. It's an objective. It's the end game. Paul talked in 1 Corinthians about running the race. And he said some, the earthly realm, runners who run the race for a corruptible crown. It can be gold, it can be silver, it can be a fronds or some sort of a recognition that they finish the race. And usually it's first, second, and third. Otherwise you're a loser now and you got to come back next year and try again. But in the natural sense, people run races. But we're running a spiritual race. And Paul said, he runs the race for an incorruptible crown. A crown that's not going to fade away. It's not going to rust. It's not going to corrode. Nobody's going to try to steal the diamonds out of it. It's a crown that one day, at the judgment seat of Christ, it will be one of the five crowns that the believers will receive that we'll be able to present to the Lord. We'll lay them at his feet at the judgment seat of Christ. And so with that thought in mind, the mark is the goal, the objective, the point at which I cross the finish line, which means the day I take my last breath in this earth life and we cross. Like Gary said, sometimes he calls me and says, I just crossed the river. And I says, well, why are you calling me? That's what I want to say, because if you're already there, don't call me. I probably won't get that call. But it's neat because we have those phrases in Christianity that we use all the time. And I say, once you cross that line of those this last row of chairs, you're in the river of the Spirit. And in our house, we always have altar calls, and we come forward for prayer. Many do. Well, you step into another dimension when you cross the front row of the chairs, because you've already taken the step of faith that God's going to meet you where you are when you stand up out of your chair and you come down here for prayer. You've already taken that step. So the mark is an indication. It's an end game. It's the finish line in this life. So I press toward the mark. That means I'm passionate. I've got a focus. I have a vision. And I'm not letting anyone stop me or hinder me from crossing that finish line. Now, if you imagine the Apostle Paul saying that, you can better understand where he's coming from. He was imprisoned twice for his faith. But you also got to remember, he reaped what he sowed. Look at how Saul of Tarsus, before he became Paul the Apostle, how he despised Christians and had them thrown in prison and beaten and very badly abused for their faith, even to the point of Stephen. In Acts chapter 8, Paul was standing there holding Stephen's coat while all the religious crowds stoned Stephen to death for his faith. Well, Paul was present. But the good news is, I read chapter 9, and that's where Paul got knocked off of his high horse and got saved too. So now he's writing from the passion that he had of coming from under the law. I mean, he was a master at the law. He knew the old covenant backwards and forward and upside down, standing on his head. And so now he's applying it to the issues of faith. I press toward the mark for the prize. What's the prize? I'll tell you later. I want to talk about the high calling. For the prize of the high calling. The high calling is an interesting phrase. It also pertains to two levels. One, the day that you were called by the Lord and raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. It's a call on your life by the Lord. We're not to live just aimlessly, without direction, without purpose, and just kind of wander around, not knowing where to go, what to do. So there's a call there, and it's an upward call. It's a high call, because when the Lord gets a hold of our lives, you know that things changed, didn't they? When you were not saved, and then suddenly you were. Oh, Donnie looks at me and I look at him, because we were kids together when I was in a foster home that one of his uncles had. And then years separated us. And we can hardly believe, when we see each other now, how he got saved before I did. Because he's a tangible person, probably of people in this room that I've known the longest. and I didn't see the call of God on his life. He terrified me after he got saved. He was another. I wonder what in the world happened to him. I didn't, weren't so sure I wanted to hang out with him anymore. And I continued the drug life and the party life and all of that. But because I didn't discern, I didn't recognize, I didn't know what happened to him. And so the same thing happened to Paul. God had a purpose and a plan for Paul's life long before Paul was even born. He had the same thing for our lives. We didn't know what it was, but God did. And the day came when he got a hold of us and raised us up. But there's another raising up that we're going to experience. And that's when it's our turn to cross the finish line. That's the real high calling. When we get called up, if you will, called up to heaven, raised up, it's a high calling to our heavenly home. And so Paul puts things in perspective, and it only took him one sentence to do it, to get refocused. There's a lot of stuff going on, but not to let it crowd in and keep us and distract us, disrupt us, or knock us off course. So the prize, so look at that as a high calling, an upward call. You might have heard the phrase, the upward call of God. That's another Christian phrase that I didn't even know what it meant either until a lot of years after I'd been saved and I began hearing Christian phrases. And we learn as we grow. And we grow as we learn. The prize. I press toward the mark for the prize. You see, like we talked about the race, their prize was a corruptible crown. Ours is an incorruptible crown. But the prize is God's promise fulfilled. He promised us eternal life if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, if you've never made that commitment, you need to know that all of your eternity is going to rest on what do you do with Jesus. Is he going to be your prize? And is your prize going to be eternal life that he promised you if you would believe and trust in him? So the prize is God's promise fulfilled, eternal life, and our heavenly home through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And did not Jesus say, let us not be afraid, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will return. Have you put your drapes, put your order in for your drapes in your mansion yet, what you'd like? I don't know what it's going to be like to live in a mansion, but I know it sounds like a really big place. And so he brings all of these things into one sentence. But there's so much here. And then there's an underlying theme. It's the overall attitude about all of these things. Do we not think about it? And we get caught up in our earthly everyday lives? Because there's a lot of stuff that can enter in. And I mean, we do live in this physical realm. And there are physical things that we have need of doing. But above all of those things, are we determined to do whatever it takes? Never quitting or giving up to obtain that prize? Sadly, I've met many people in the faith. And they fell away. And they gave up. And they said, this is too hard. I will say it's very challenging at times. But you got to consider the worth. You got to consider the value. If we put our value on our earthly lives, we're really missing the true value of what we are and who we are. Did you know the blood of Jesus made you a holy temple for the Spirit of the living God to dwell in and make his home? That's no junk. That's not cheap. That's costly. And sometimes it's going to cost us. And this scripture reminds me that it's all worth it. One day we will look back and say, we made it. And it was worth everything, because it cost everything. So when you read scriptures like that, and you really start thinking about what Paul was saying, he had been in prison twice. And this was the one where they ended up beheading him. And here he is. He's not so concerned about himself as he is about his fellow believers and the particular church that really sowed to his needs. There was that connection. And then in verse 15, he said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So I put this in Rick words. I can't say that the Lord told me to write these words, but it's an understanding I have that flows with the spirit of that scripture. And I worded it like this. As we grow into maturity, because that's what perfect means, it means mature. As we grow into maturity, it is important to maintain the same mindset, to keep ourselves motivated on finishing the race set before each of us. If we find ourselves straying from this vision or purpose, the Holy Spirit will be faithful to reveal this to us, that we may have the opportunity to return to sound thinking about our heavenly future. I don't have a Bible translation to translate my words, but those are my words as to what I received out of what Paul was trying to say, or what he did say in verse 15, is that as we grow and mature, let us all share that same vision together, because that's God's future for us, our eternal home. And let's guard our hearts and be watchful, be vigilant over the things that have great value to the Lord, should have great value to us, and to make sure that we attend to those things, because if we find ourselves straying, the Holy Spirit does come along and just nudge us a little bit, prompt us a little bit, send somebody to talk to us and get us back on track and go with it. And then verse 16, he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And I interpreted it like this, and you certainly are very open to what you might think of that and weigh it with what you see in the Word. I said, to the extent that we've all grown together in the Lord, because you see, Paul was writing this to the church at Philippi. If I were to write that letter and I was in India on a missions trip and I wrote you this letter, this is how I would say to you what Paul said to them. I would say, to the extent that we've all grown together in the Lord, may we continue our faith walk together in the same manner and with the same goal in mind. That even though I'm no longer with you, a physical distance has separated us. Like Paul was a great distance away from the church at Philippi. But this was his heart for his brothers and sisters in the faith. And so, if I were to write the letter to you, this is the way I would have written it to you, because these are my words again. I can't say God gave them to me. I'm not so bold as to say the Lord told me to do this and the Lord told me to do that. I would rather tell you that I sensed the Holy Spirit influencing the way that I was going to present this today, but I can't say that He gave me every single word. And that's just being honest with you. I'm not a person to suddenly say, the Lord told me this. I I heard his voice a few times, but I've sensed now that it's a prompting. It's an unction to function, to do something that's going to line up with the word. And so hopefully that will perhaps give you a better understanding of a lot of other things that Paul said that are very hard to grasp if you don't take the time and maybe get some other translations of the scriptures. You get a bigger picture of the heart that he had for his beloveds that before he got saved he was willing to throw in prison. And now he himself is in prison. And he just wants you to know how all this comes together and how we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and let God mold us into the people that he desires that we be.